D-Maze, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Finnegan here with you. We will discuss Will Levis. But first, before we do that, we go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome Joe Reedy, Los Angeles reporter for the Associated Press, to give us the Chargers' perspective of this weekend's game. And Joe, your latest story is about the Titans and Chargers bringing two of the top defenses in the NFL into their meeting on Sunday. In the story, you write that the Chargers have allowed a league-low 12.6 points per game this season. They are the first team since the 2019 Patriots to allow 20 or fewer points in each of their first eight games. What's been the Chargers' secret defensively this season?
I think you got credit a lot of it to defensive coordinator Jesse Minner coming in. You look at the turnaround Jesse had in his two seasons at the University of Michigan, getting that unit to play well. He's had the same effect here. I think his scheme, while maybe being simple at times, it's relatable. It empowers the players a lot to react. And gives it, and I think it empowers the players more. And I think the biggest difference maybe between this defensive system and the one of the past 3 years, it's very adaptable to the players, and it puts a lot on the players. Because as Minner told us during the off season, I may call a play in the huddle. But if things change, it's up to you guys to adapt and read and react. I give you the tools, and it's up to you guys to execute. And I think they've done that so far. I think the pass rush and the pass coverage have been very complementary to each other. They've allowed a lot of less big plays. Besides leading the league in scoring defense, they have the second highest rate of three and outs in the league. So they're getting off the field quicker. Really doing a good job in playing discipline. I think their one bad game this year was that Monday night game against Arizona, where they gave up a ton of rushing yards. But other than that, I think so far, when you talk about the turnaround of the Chargers, the defense has been the biggest and most surprising and biggest pleasant surprise, I would say.
Speaking of the pass coverage, Titans fans, of course, are familiar with Elijah Molden. They traded him to the Chargers for a seventh round pick before the season. He has three interceptions so far this season to lead the Chargers. Many Titans fans are looking at that and saying to themselves, where was that Elijah Molden as a member of the Tennessee Titans? What's been working for Molden with the Chargers?
I think he's been playing mostly safety here, but he's been in good position to make plays. The interception he had last week for his third one was kind of a volleyball-like play where Cam Hart was near the out-of-bounds marker and tipped it, and Molden was right there in the end zone and was able to pick it off. I think that he's getting more opportunities here, which is a big reason he has to be traded or released from the Titans. And I think also maybe new regime and everything, especially going into his last year. And as a guy, you know, playing for free agency next year and everything, he's certainly made the most of his opportunities. And I think it's a pretty good secondary he's been in this year. Christian Fulton, another former Titan, has played well so far. He didn't play last week due to a hamstring injury, kind of questionable so far this week. But, you know, when you play on a secondary too with Derwin James, that tends to up the competition level for a lot of guys.
Yeah, Joe, we've heard that a lot when he was here, the whole old hamstring issue. He missed too many games because of that. We're talking with Joe Reedy of the Associated Press, talking Tennessee Titans and the LA Chargers, who they will host the Titans this weekend. Now, looking at Quentin Johnston, obviously it didn't start off too well for him, but it seems like the last five games, he has four touchdowns over the last five games. Do you start to see him now come in a form? And if you do, what do you think has been the change?
I think the fact that he's more assured going into year two. Mm-hmm. I think you look at first-round wide receivers throughout the league, unless you're Ja'Marr Chase or an A.J. Green or the guy, the LSU guy who's playing with the Giants right now, whom many thought neighbors whom
yes.
many thought that the Chargers should take a flyer on in the first round this year. First round receivers are going to struggle, and I mean that rookie year, and you know, you're basically going nonstop from your last year of college through the combine and everything. It's almost like 2 years in one, for lack of a better term. And I think that caught up to Quentin. Mm-hmm. But this offense with Greg Roman, it's taken more advantage of the downfield passing game. Justin Herbert's got more of a rapport with them. He had a good start to the season. I think 3 touchdowns in the first 3 games and was getting open a lot, battled an ankle injury over the past couple games, but came back against Cleveland and had his first 100-yard game. It kind of seems like with this young and slightly inexperienced receiving core, different guys are starting to pick things up. Ladd McConkey the last 3-4 weeks has become one of Justin Herbert's most dependable targets. Will Disley, but also the past couple games too, Joshua Palmer has turned into a downfield threat. His last 4 receptions, and I think five or six of his last 7 have been for at least 23 yards. So he's kind of becoming that downfield threat that maybe Mike Williams was for a couple years here.
Now, everybody understands that Jim is a winner no matter where he goes, whether it would be him in San Diego State, him at Michigan, him in San Francisco, his first stint in the NFL, and now obviously with the L.A. Chargers, and then they expect the same thing. But how long are the fan base willing to wait? Because it seems like he has that team on track now. But is there like a timetable when they believe they will be true contenders? Because they're still building this team up the way Jim wants it.
Yeah, I think if this team can go 10-7 or 11-6, which right now in the AFC looks like that would be a wild card berth. And if it could get a wild card berth this year, I think you would say the program is further ahead than maybe it is, than maybe many thought. But also, this was a Jim Harbaugh who in 2011, his first year in San Francisco, in a lockout year with a team that had a lot less talent than the one he was inheriting with the Chargers, he got into the NFC Championship game. So I think when you look at Jim Harbaugh, anything's possible. And, you know, if you can get a team to the playoffs that maybe is half the 3-4s built the way him and general manager Joe Ortiz might want it, I think that the fan base would be very happy. As long as they're competitive, mm-hmm. and playing well, and there's not a in those losses, the chargering and everything. Now I think we saw that in the Arizona Monday night game, but also as long as this team is not consistently losing close games or blowing in the fourth quarter, I think the fan base would be pleased.
Talking to Joe Reedy, who covers the Chargers for the Associated Press, that Joe, I'm curious your view of what we're seeing from afar, and we heard it philosophically. When they decided to take Joe Alt, that was sort of the roundabout way of saying we're going to get more out of Justin Herbert by giving him good run support and not worrying about who the wide receivers are. They've had the name wide receivers like Mike Williams and Keenan Allen move on, but yet they've been a more efficient offensive team despite that. So what are you seeing from that standpoint, how that has come together?
I think as long as this offense has a sense of balance, it opens things up, because his rookie year, Justin Herbert was very effective as a downfield passer in that intermediate and especially the long game. And we're starting to see that again. And I think a big reason why is even though the run success metrics percentage and everything is way lower than the league average and the zero and negative yards are up there, it's still a patient run game that we're committed to it. And yeah, it might look slow and plodding at times, but there's still the threat to get the big gains and everything like what we're seeing from J.K. Dobbins. And this has been with Gus Edwards battling injuries the entire year. Now, if they could get a two running back system with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins going, I think that opens it up even more. But I think we've seen the last 3-4 weeks, especially with a healthier Justin Herbert, that and also working with the receivers and everything, you know, with his ability and also, you know, with these receivers, maybe the exit, maybe it's going over expectations so far. It does open things up, brings a sense of balance. Defenses cannot load up 7 or 8 to stop the pass. I mean, this was a team that under Brandon Staley for 3 years had the second highest percentage of pass plays in the league. I think it was around 64-65%. And that's not – that percentage isn't going to win a lot of ball games. Because I think there's also the adage of 40 attempts sometimes equals death and losses. And Herbert had a lot of 40 attempt games. So as long as there's a sense of balance and teams have to respect the run, it opens up those beyond 10 yard passes. And I think we've seen that the last 3 weeks. And then, you know, when teams are looking at that intermediate and long, all of a sudden J.K. Dobbins can come in and do a 15-16 yard run or do some catching out of the backfield, which keeps teams honest too. So the fact that this is an offense that can adapt, which we haven't seen since 2021, has also been very encouraging.
Joe, I would say at least 2/3 conservatively of the mock drafts before the draft had Joe Alt going to the Titans with the 7th pick. And of course, Jim Harbaugh took Alt a couple of picks before that. What did you think of that at the time, and how do you think that pick has worked out with Alt playing at the right tackle position?
Knowing Harbaugh's philosophy, I was okay with it, and I think we've also seen that when Dallas used a lot of picks from 2010 to 2015 building that offensive line, That was the one area the Cowboys, I think, where teams didn't have to worry about because it ended up being a pretty stout offensive line. So I was okay with it. Alt has been very solid the first half of the year. Now, he struggled last week against Cleveland, but who doesn't struggle against Myles Garrett in that front? Rashawn Slater, also another first-round pick, struggled when going up against Myles Garrett, too. I mean, the line gave up 6 sacks in the first half, but didn't give up any in the second half. So I think Alt has exceeded expectations so far, playing well for the 5th overall pick, and, you know, they've got their right tackle for years to come now.
Joe Reedy, Associated Press reporter in Los Angeles, joining us to preview Titans and Chargers. Joe, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the game this weekend.
No problem. Take care.
Joe Reedy joining us on the program, 615-737-1025. As we've discussed, Will Levis will be back under center for the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. What do we expect from him in his return? We'll discuss that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, 1025-1063, the game.